Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
How are we doing this morning? It is Leo Thomas, and you are in Neighborhood Business Radio. I'm glad to have you here. I'm very excited. I have some great guests today. But, you know, as you saw last time, we start off with our word of the day. And today, my word of the day is, you know what? Let me just give you a little parable and you'll figure it out as we go. Okay. So you're waking up, right? You hop up out of bed and hopefully the first thing that you do is you look in the mirror. And when you look in that mirror, I hope you know that person that you're looking at is going to determine how the rest of the day is going to go. All right? So you've been in lots of situations in your life where, you know what? Someone else was making the decision. Someone else was driving the car. I mean, we've all been children before. We've all had parents and everything like that. But you know what? There's something that you realize as you get older. You got to make a few decisions. And I want to tell you this parable because it'll really help you out with how you can make decisions for the rest of the day. Okay, so there's a story about, you know, how they train elephants. You know, that's a huge, monstrous beast. You know, that's it's huge. How do we as humans, as small as we are, control elephants? All right, so at a young age, what they do is they'll take a rope, they'll tie it around the elephant's neck, and they'll take that rope and they take a little nail. They nail the rope down and the elephant can't leave because at a young age, it's a smaller elephant. It doesn't know it's going to be huge, right? So as it gets older, it understands that it can't leave a certain space when this rope is around its neck. And as the elephant gets bigger and bigger and bigger, they keep the same rope around his neck. And you know what? After a while, they really don't even have to tie the elephant down. He just knows that he cannot break this rope, right? Well, guess what? Sometimes we put that rope around our own neck and we keep ourselves in one place because we feel like we can't leave. And once you break that rope, you know what it's called? It's called our word of the day, freedom. Yes, the word of the day is freedom. And my two guests really inspired that word because every time I have a guest on, I think about a word that describes both of them. And I can't think of any other word to describe these two. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my first guest. Her name is Tina Thomas, right? And she is a makeup artist, right?
Yes, correct.
And a blogger.
Yes, that's very correct.
Okay, so, you know, can you please explain to the people on my Facebook live feed and the people that are listening in on the radio, why are you on the radio? Why didn't they get the chance to come on the radio this evening? What do you do for a living?
Sure. So a little background about me. I do two different careers. I'm a market manager in the Atlanta territory. I do different brands, including Anheuser-Busch, Miller Coors, and then my other role is a professional makeup artist. I've been doing that for a little over 4 to 5 years now. I do anything from portraits to weddings. And I think what would really set me apart from everyone else is the fact that I try to be authentic in my work. You know, I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, if you do want that freedom and you do want that, you know, authenticity, then you have to be yourself and you have to really brand yourself as a person. So right now, what I'm kind of trying to do is mesh the two careers together and become a beauty influencer and a brand influencer in the beauty industry as a whole.
Okay, so what sparked that idea? What got you into the beauty market?
Sure. So I always did makeup growing up. You know, I've always been interested in it. But I think the biggest aspect was once I did makeup, I noticed their confidence. It enhanced their confidence in more than just a physical way. It was an emotional way. You know, I would do my makeup when I went into different interviews for jobs. And there was a difference in when I went into an interview with high heels on and makeup on. You know, I presented myself well. I had the respect and the confidence that I didn't otherwise have if I just rolled out of bed.
So your presentation kind of, it helps you with what's going on inside, your
right.
Outward look.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, that is what it is. Your outward appearance is what's coming from inward. You know, that's what you express. Whatever you want to project is all inward.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, as a man, sometimes I find it hard for us to understand, like, why are you taking so long to get ready? What's going on? And you know what? I think I'm starting to understand as you're telling me this. It's like, if I get my outside ready, maybe my inside will be a little bit better and the rest of my day will go better, correct?
Yeah, so just imagine if when you go get a haircut and buy a nice button-up, you know, don't you feel a lot better? Don't you have a better, you know, day? Did you not do that this morning? You put on a nice button-up?
Oh, yes. Yeah. When I put on this button-up, trust me, Tina, I felt wonderful, okay?
Exactly.
This is why I have such a good spirit about myself, my outward appearance. I do brush my hair every now and then. So how do you sell confidence? Because that's essentially what you're selling, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I like to sell it and not, you know, I like to do, rather than just say what I can do, I rather show them. So I kind of, you know, a lot of times I like to sit women down and, you know, I show them their appearances that they have that stand out. Like, for example, if you have high cheekbones, you know, I try to accentuate those. And I'm like, you know, look at this. And I try to show them in the mirror, like, do you see this? Do you see how beautiful you look? You know, you can really accentuate these looks about yourself. You know, we all have things we hate about ourselves. But there's also a lot of things we love about ourselves and that we can, and makeup allows you to accentuate that part of you, mm-hmm. you know, and it allows you to build that confidence, which essentially, you know, is what every woman needs at the end of the day. And being, personally for me, being a minority and being a woman, we're already kind of on the back fence. And so it's something that I need every day for me to be successful in my everyday life.
Yeah, that's a different situation because, you know, you're female. Right. And a lot of businesses and a lot of places you go, it's ran by a male confident and your minority, which, you know, it says in itself, a minority, a small, you know, amount of people that are, you know, compared to a majority.
Exactly.
So who do you try to model yourself after that, you know, you can kind of say, you know what, she put the path for me and I can follow this? Or do you just kind of follow your own trail? What do you?
You know, I personally like to follow a lot of, you know, a lot of Middle Eastern women, a lot of Indian women. Being Indian myself, our culture is very male dominated. And I think, you know, a way for us to kind of stand out and bring ourselves out because we are so, you know, we're so used to being so resistant. I like to follow a lot of women bloggers that are Indian or Middle Eastern because they kind of, you know, it's nice to see women kind of step out of their comfort zone. And it allowed me to step out of my comfort zone living in America, you know, growing up in a society where I'm not around a lot of people my ethnicity. That makes sense.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so what is success for you within this industry that you're in?
I think success for me is it has nothing to do with the money. It has nothing to do with the followers or the viewers. It's more so just kind of being able to make a difference in one person. If I have one person or one young woman that I've made a difference in and that's reached out to me, you know, that's able to put on a full face of makeup. Because, you know, in the beauty industry, you get judged so easily. You know, you wear too much makeup. You wear this that's fake. You know, it's so easy to judge someone on the outside when you don't really know. You don't really know what they have going on in their everyday lives, you know? So I think the biggest thing is not caring what other people think. And if I can do that for one woman, that's enough for me. I think it's just making that difference and making that change.
Okay. So what was kind of the biggest challenge, you know, as you start to move towards that success? What are some of the speed bumps that you come up against?
You know, I think it's just really putting myself out there. You know, I make Instagram videos. I want to work towards making YouTube videos. And it's not the strangers that I'm worried about. The strangers, you know, they see you as who you are, but it's your friends and your family. You know, your friends and your family know you. And if they see you on camera and they see you projecting this personality that they've never seen before, it's so easy for them to judge you as being someone that you're not. Mm-hmm. You know, but in reality, it's who you are on the inside, you know, and who you just want them to respect you the most because those are the people that truly know you. So I think my biggest challenge was putting myself out there and being myself, regardless of what my family thought.
Okay, so. Yeah. You know, I know a lot of the times people tell me all the time, it's like my biggest supporter is my mom or my biggest supporter is my significant other. So who are some of your biggest cheerleaders? Like, I know, you know, the people are looking at you like, oh, I never seen Tina act like this. But then they find out how, you know, who are some of the people you were like, oh, man, they reacted so positively. They gave me a push. I want to keep doing this. I feel great.
Like, yeah, you know, so I think mostly my brothers, you know, I have two older brothers. And like I said, growing up in an Indian culture, like they did, you know, that's not something that they really, really understood. But when they started to see my success from it, they started to see my actual work, my portrait photography, you know, my professional work. I got photographs printed, you know. When they saw that kind of work, they really saw that I had talent in that art, you know. And they told me, they were like, you know, you should really pursue that. You know, it's okay if you don't go get a 9-to-5 job. But it's okay that you have a college degree and your goal isn't to work a 9-to-5 job and become a doctor. You know, and the fact that they kind of embraced what I wanted, it really meant a lot to me. And I think that was enough for me because those are my biggest support systems, you know, my brothers and my mother.
Okay, well, you know, a lot of the times you'll see people that have family members that kind of pursue entrepreneurship and they were inspired by them and it really makes it real comfortable for them. What was kind of like your first touch with entrepreneurship where you were like, yeah, that's something I can do? Like, is there somebody that was like, oh, I see that?
Yeah, so last year I started working with this photographer. Her name is Gabrielle Colton. And I also worked with this hairstylist. She owns a salon actually in Dunwoody called Salon Bar. So us, the three of us, we would get together every Sunday and we'd bring on models from agencies. So we worked with a lot of models from Ford. So these are like models that work with anything from Victoria's Secret models to Ford models. They, you know, they're very high-end models, so we have to book them through agencies. And we did a lot of print work with them to build up our portfolios. So we would spend 4 to 5, 6 hours every Sunday. This is free work. I'm spending 5, 6 hours doing just photo shoots, touching up their makeup, doing full face foilings, just, you know, airbrush painting, anything you could think of. You know, it's just a lot of things I've never even done before, but it was, you know, it was the experience that really brought it out in me. And, you know, the girl that owns the salon, Tori Banks, and the, you know, photographer, they really pursue that. They don't do anything else but hair and photography. And they really kind of pushed me and was like, you know, you're really good at this. You know, have you ever thought about just dropping everything and just, you know, really pursuing makeup? And that's honestly when I decided, you know, this is something that I want to do and this is something that I'm passionate about. Because it wasn't just me. It was other people saw it in me as well.
Wow. So it's like you work with a bigger company and you did it all for free. You just wanted to learn. You were a student at some point.
Right. And I think that's the point where you realize, you know, if you're passionate about something, when you're doing it for free, you're not getting paid for it. You're doing it for the experience alone.
So are there any like bigger companies that you hope to work with in the future or align yourself with?
Yeah. So what I essentially want to do in the end is I want to work for bigger brands like Tarte Cosmetics and create actual makeup palettes with them, work alongside with them and do different brands and create the actual palettes. I want to actually go into the factories and create the colors. I want to create colors for minority women. You know, it's when it comes to a lot of different makeup, it's either black or white. You know, there's never that in between, you know, and I want to kind of bridge the gap and create a brand for women that are my color skin tone that, you know, that don't have that exact color that matches them, you know? I think, I don't know if that makes sense, but I know I'm kind of diving into makeup a little too much.
No. Grace Moore, we don't know any, trust me, I don't know anything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so kind of just bridging that gap between where we are kind of the outliers. I want to bridge that gap and create a whole different world for us.
Okay, so would you say your strength is the fact that, you know, you're touching an industry that is barely being, you know, sown right now, or? What is your main strength when it comes to your industry and your trade?
I think the fact that I have a heavy marketing background. You know, a lot of makeup artists, they're great at makeup, but they're not really heavy on selling themselves, selling their brand, and marketing it. And, you know, when it comes to sales and marketing, they both combine. You can't have one without the other. And I think my makeup is great, but if I can't market and I can't sell it, no one's going to know about it. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to tie all three of those things together to have a successful brand. You can't have one without the other. So I think that's what sets me apart from the other makeup artists.
So how do you rise out of obscurity? That's the hardest part of being an entrepreneur. Like, do you what is your main tool for, you know, letting people know, hey, I do, because let's be real, we're in Atlanta. There are a lot of makeup artists out here. A lot of people doing beauty, a lot of people doing their thing. How do you step out, like you're in the crowd, you know? Like, you ever been to like a party or anything like that? How do I look in that crowd and go, boom, that's the one I'm going to go with? How do you make yourself stand out?
Right. So I think the main thing is just being consistent with your work, you know, always networking, going to events, going to conventions, you know, putting yourself out there, meeting the right people. You know, it really is about who you know. And if you connect with those people, they will put you out there. And you have to connect with those key industry influencers that everyone knows. So you can go around and go, you know, the thing is, a lot of the events in Atlanta, you have to pick out those people. You have to know who, you know, that person right there, they're going to be the person to put me out there and connect me with someone that I need to know. So I think that's the main thing. And you got to step outside of Atlanta. You have to go to LA. You have to go to New York. You have to travel. You have to be willing to take that time apart, not get paid, but still put yourself out there, you know, and network. And even if you get shot down, you have to take that as, you know, try again.
But what if I don't have any money for the flight, Tita? How am I going to get that? How do I tell people around the world, What if there's some girl that just has one makeup palette, but she's just really good with it? How does she get her name out there?
And that's where you have social media. Social media is 100% free. If you learn SEO, I learned SEO, I learned Photoshop, everything through YouTube tutorials. So everything was free. You know, if you really just put yourself out there, and like I said, being consistent with doing social media, learning the hashtag, learning when to post, when not to post, YouTube videos, you know, keywords, there's so much that goes into it. Because at the end of the day, you can put up a great YouTube video, but there's, you know, it's still a search engine like Google. If you don't, you know, if you search a video, it's going to pull up the best content. And if you don't have great content, or if you didn't, you know, do the SEO and actually, you know, optimize it correctly, it's not going to come up. So it's just really educating yourself on that to get your videos to come up, and then, you know, being consistent with it, because then someday one person is going to see that one video and that's going to really just, you know, set you apart.
So it's just all about putting yourself in the right position for when the opportunity does come. Right.
And being consistent. You have to be consistent with it. You know, I don't care if you spend 2-3 days putting it together, a video, editing it, filming it, failing at it, dropping your camera, breaking it, because I've done all of this before. And then, you know, crying, film it again, post it. And still, if no one looks at it, I don't care. Post another one the next day. And if you keep doing it, somebody's going to find that video, you know, because your hard work is still going to pay off at the end of the day.
Those tears are going to reap you some success. Trust me. Hey, we all cried. Don't be ashamed to cry. We've all cried. Entrepreneurs, you know how to cry. Trust me. So, okay. So what? Give me some advice. All right. So I'm Edward down the street. I sell earrings. Okay. Which social media tool should I use? We got Twitter. We got Snapchat. We got Instagram. What are like the main tools for, like, do we utilize all of them?
Yes.
Or do we focus on just one?
So I would say utilize all of them, honestly, you know. And when it comes to a lot of like clothing and earrings and stuff like that, you should also find key industry influencers that other people are watching, you know, like and send them free products. You know, ask them to market, you know, ask them to give you an honest opinion of their product, you know. Don't pay them, you know, ask them for their honest reviews of your product. And that will kind of bridge the gap and put you out there a little bit more. And then also, you know, do some free shoots. You can always, you know, putting yourself out there, finding a model to wear your actual earrings. And then getting a photographer, just taking pictures of it, just, you know, working with what you have. You don't have to have $1 million camera. You know, just working with what you have and just putting yourself out there, social media, doing it all. You have to do it all because you don't know what medium you can get, you know, someone can find you on.
So what has been your biggest strength? What was the biggest social media website that you felt like for makeup was a huge?
I think Instagram, because now that you can make the videos, you know, and now that you have the hashtag, you can kind of connect with everyone, you know, working with that hairstylist and working with the photographer, I kind of got like a three-way medium. We were all posting each other's work, you know, and that really got us, you know, posted on a lot of websites that had like millions of followers, you know, and that really, really helped more than anything. And Instagram is so easy. You just, you know, if you have work, just take 5-10 minutes out of the day to take a picture of it, take a video of it, you know, even if it's a how-to. You know, there are 13-year-olds doing it out here. You know, if you really like what you do, you know, present it and put it out there, and someone will find you if you just take the time to put yourself out there.
Okay, so basically what you did was, all right, I've got 5,000 followers. You've got 2,000. Those are 2,000 people that I probably don't know. So partnerships were really a huge
tool. Yes, like collaborations. You know, there's so many, you know, so many different ways you can do it. I think doing collaborations, doing giveaways, you know, just the idea is, you know, at the end of the day, it's to just get viewers to view your work. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have great work, but, you know, it's getting those viewers because you are, you know, there's a million other people out there doing the same thing as you. But if you're consistent with it, you know, it's probability. It's a, you know, probability and cause. Like, you're going to come up. Someone's going to see you, you know, eventually. But you have to keep doing it. So that's why that's the bridge and gap between having a passion for something and just wanting to do something for money. So if you want to do something for money, that's great. But after a while, after you don't get those views, it's going to die out and you're not going to want to do it anymore. But if you're passionate about something, you can get 2-3 views every day for a year and you're still going to want to wake up and do it every day.
But I'm trying to figure out you have a full-time job, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you balance a full-time job and a passion? That's really hard for a lot of people. I find it hard myself. Don't sleep.
Honestly, I wake up at 5 a.m. every day. I just started doing that. I haven't been doing that for a very long time now. But I try to go to bed pretty early at night because I know, you know, in the mornings, I'm just so much more useful in the mornings and no one's awake. So no one's texting me, calling me. And, you know, I listen to a lot of motivational videos and they always say, that's one thing they always say is wake up early. Wake up early and it'll make a world of a difference. And I do. I wake up early and I get a lot of my work out of the way. And I also spend a lot of time in Starbucks because I notice if I go home, I get distracted very easily. Mm. In Starbucks, I'm still surrounded by people, but I don't have, you know, anyone sitting in front of me talking to me at the same time. So I think just really utilizing my time well, like your time is valuable and you have to think 5 years down the line, is partying and doing all the things you're doing now, is it going to, you know, make a difference down 5 years down the line? Or if I wake up 2-3 hours early in the morning and try to, you know, work towards my passion a little bit, that is what's going to really make the difference from you and set you apart from, you know, people around you, especially at our age. You know, we're millennials. We expect everything to be handed to us. And, you know, we as, you know, like me and you, that works to, you know, we can leverage that because we're not like that, you know, and we have to kind of, you know, take that in.
So you can utilize something that people would see as a weakness as a strength. So me being young, I can still utilize. It's not a weakness for me. Right. A lot of people see it as a weakness.
Right. Because people, you know, the thing is a lot of people around us, they do. They are lazy. You know, people our age are lazy. So, you know, if we bridge the gap and we're not like that, you know, we kind of take in what our parents did, but also take in what we did and kind of mesh the positivities of it, then that really will set us apart. Because while everyone else is sleeping or partying, I'm up and I'm working hard because I'm using my 12 hours in the day rather than using my 8 hours in the day.
Ooh, gosh. Y'all need to start taking notes because Tina knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's talking about.
Exactly. Sure. So I'm hearing a lot about how routine is really important to your success.
Yeah. Have you ever heard if you do something for 21 days straight, it becomes a, you know, custom in your system?
Wow, you are advanced. You are advanced. You're teaching me a lot of stuff right now. So what advice do you have for the next makeup artist after you?
I think just be authentic. Don't try to be someone you're not. You know, you're gonna watch all these different makeup artists and you're gonna love them. You're gonna hate some of them. Don't try to be like them. Just be yourself because at the end of the day, people are going to see if you're not authentic and they're gonna see if you're not, you know, being yourself. Just find what sets you apart and really utilize it. Utilize what sets you apart from the crowd. Because there is one thing about you that no other person has and no other person carries, you know? So just utilize that and push your strengths and find your weaknesses. Take your weaknesses and somehow turn them into your strengths. Mm-hmm. So that's probably my best advice for makeup artists or anyone.
Okay, so what's some of the best advice you've gotten from someone or you've had from someone that was like older than you or someone that was deeper in this industry? What was some of the best advice?
I think the biggest thing is to make sure what you're doing that you really want to do it, you know, because it is hard. When I started doing YouTube and started doing makeup editing videos, I was getting very upset because I would make these videos and put these videos out here or I'd film something and it didn't come out right and the lighting wasn't right. There was always something wrong and I got really frustrated. And there were so many times I was so close to giving up. And then I watched a ton of videos and they were kind of saying like, you know, you can, if you don't want to do this, like it's going to show within like the first year. You have to make sure you want it. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. Make sure whatever you're doing, you're going to want it no matter, even if everyone hates you for it, even if you don't make any money from it, you know, it has to be something that you want for yourself and you want deep down inside. It has to be your passion. Yes, you have to be passionate about it.
Because, you know, if you pursue something, and it's this hard. Like, entrepreneurship is hard.
Right.
So you're going to fail.
You're going to fail several times.
Yeah.
And I think it's just preparing yourself to fail is the best thing. Because very little people just make it the first time. You know, mm-hmm. You're going to fail. People are going to tell you no. People are going to tell you they hate your work. You know, I've done makeup on people before and they hated it. And they didn't, you know, they didn't. And it really, really hurt my feelings in the beginning. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, just taking what they say and, you know, do what you can. Just take the positivity out of it. There's, even if it's hard to find sometimes, there is something you can pull out of it that can make you better.
So what was the biggest speed bump that you experienced when it came to your passion?
I think graduating college and having to find a full-time job. When I had to find a full-time job and work, I had to start working 8 hours a day and I would get home and I didn't have time to do my makeup and I wasn't posting anymore and I found myself not even wanting to do makeup on myself and I started to wonder if I wanted to do it anymore. And, you know, and I think that was the biggest thing. But, you know, what I ended up doing is I took an 8-hour makeup class and that kind of brought me back and made me, you know, realize that I do love what I do, you know. So I think it's just making sure you still kind of, you know, you're still in tune with it, you know, because it's so easy to, you know, get off your track and just start working a 9-to-5 job because you have the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so easy to follow money.
All right. So what was your first taste of success?
I would have to say we got printed in a magazine for, I can't remember the name of the magazine, but we got printed in a magazine, and that was the biggest work, you know, work piece. It was a, it was some portrait photography I did, and it was a foil, like, art piece. So mm-hmm. We took a bunch of pieces of gold foiling, and we actually used glue, and I'll have a picture.
You put foil on your face?
Not on my face. I did it on a model.
Oh, okay.
I did it on a model, and it was amazing. It was beautiful right there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's a Voyage ATL. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. y'all can't see it right now, but Stone, he just pulled it up automatically, so it must be a big deal. You're like, I don't remember the magazine. You're so humble.
That took like 7 hours to do.
Legitimately, seven hours
to do, because they were tiny pieces of gold foiling. And I'd never done it before, but my friend, the photographer, she was like, look, I got this gold foiling from Hobby Lobby. Do you want to try to do something creative? And I was like, okay, I'll try. And it came out amazing. And, you know, it came out amazing, and I loved it. You know, it was one of my favorite pieces.
Is this it? I'm looking at the back of your business card.
It's on the back of my business card, yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's so creative.
Yeah. So that was probably, you know, that was my most successful piece, because it was something I'd never done before. And it really kind of showed me that I just tried something new that I've never done before. Mm-hmm. And since I was so interested in it, it came out like beautiful. It was amazing. You know, I loved it. It was one of my favorite pieces.
You felt a sense of freedom.
I did.
Back to the word of the day. My gosh.
I did. I felt a sense of freedom.
How do you define freedom?
I think just happiness. You know, freedom is just, you know, essentially at the end of the day, all we want is to be happy. And I think freedom leads to happiness, because we can do whatever we want. We don't want to feel tied down to things, people, or money. So I think, you know, that's why people search for freedom in money. Mm. But essentially, you're going to find out that the money is what's holding you down. So I think just being happy.
Well, this has been a very intriguing conversation. I've learned a lot about makeup. I mean, gosh, and I'm about
now to
go
you're gonna appreciate your girlfriend when she takes an hour to get ready.
Exactly. I'm like, you know what? Take your time.
Take your time.
We're supposed to be at 10:30.
I'm going to take a nap.
It's 10:30. It's okay. It's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. I'm going to go home tonight. I'm going to get some foil and just give it.
Just go crazy.
Hey, let's go crazy, babe. Let's get some super glue and let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Well, I know you got a schedule, and you got to head out soon.
I do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
How can they find you? We want to find you. We want to get our makeup done.
Sure, sure. So my Instagram is Makeup by Tina. Mm-hmm. It's with two E's. It's M-A-K-E.
Mm-hmm.
U-P-B-Y-T-E-E-N-A. So that's honestly the best way to reach me.
I hope my listeners can spell very well.
You know, it's okay, because I kind of forgot how to spell makeup halfway through. So it's totally fine.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, find out about her. Go to her Instagram. And if you have any events coming up, or, you know, if you have your own makeup out there and you're looking for somebody to sponsor or send makeup to, I guess Tina's your gal.
Yes, I do. Weddings, special occasions, do it all. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you so much. All right. And now we're going to transition to our other guest. Woo. All right. So we got Tim Samuel, correct? Or is it Timothy? You want Tim or Timothy?
No, Tim for sure.
Tim the guy. Tim. So I know a lot about Tim and his business, but I want Tim to tell me, because Tim, you've taken off, and I want people to hear about what's going on. So please give them a short synopsis of exactly what you do. Tell them. Let them know, Tim.
All right. So I'm a serial entrepreneur. And like Tina said, all the businesses that I started before epically failed. And so the one I'm on now, which is the main one, the gold one, the golden child, is called Sparketh. And basically, it's an online learning platform for kids and teens to learn creative subjects such as art, dance, music, singing, anything creative like that. And we do video courses. We upload every single week. And essentially, the way we like to explain it in a gist where most people understand it is we call it the Netflix for art.
The Netflix for art. That's a huge name. You know, Netflix is huge, right?
Yes.
My $7 goes out of my account for a reason. Man, I'm not missing Iron Fist, okay?
Yeah, that show's great.
So people are keeping up with you like Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Netflix for art, and eventually dance, music, singing, and for kids, just to spread that creativity.
So, who are some of your, who are you trying to model yourself after? You're a serial entrepreneur. So who are some of your role models? Give me a name. What's inspiring this?
Business-wise, Netflix, honestly. And I'd also say lynda.com, huge inspiration for us. As far as entrepreneurs, I would say without a doubt, Elon Musk is one of my huge, huge role models.
Elon Musk?
Yes.
Woo, you're trying to reach them Tesla levels. Okay.
Exactly.
So the company you compare yourself to is Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I guess the aim is just to continue with homeschools. Do you plan on reaching public schools or what are some of the aims for you guys? You know, like tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So right now we're targeting homeschoolers. And so homeschoolers have this problem where mom and dad can teach you math or science because they learned that as they were growing up. But mom and dad aren't good at, say, art or dancing or even baking. And so we really feel like we can help them with that problem. And we've come in and offered Sparketh as a solution for parents that really want to teach their kids creative subjects but aren't that well at it. So right now it's homeschoolers, but eventually we know we want to branch into after-school programs, private schools, maybe even daycares. So there's a lot of potential for it. But right now we're really focused on homeschoolers because they really need it the most.
How are you reaching these parents?
Homeschoolers love homeschool bloggers. Like they love to listen and to read from homeschool bloggers. They're a huge inspiration from them. And we really just try and tap into other homeschool bloggers, show them what we've got and see if they can spread the word about what we're really trying to do for the homeschool community.
I've never been to a homeschool. I've never been homeschooled in my life. Mm-hmm. How do you know? How do you have experience with homeschools? How do you know about this industry?
Yeah, actually, I wasn't homeschooled at all either. I've just been to public school. But my two best friends, who are also business partners in the company, were homeschooled growing up. And so they really have given me more of the insight into how to tap into that market. So we do homeschool bloggers. We also do homeschool conventions. And those are basically things where homeschool parents come out around, say, February to July. And for all those months, they're really just going to all these conventions and looking at all the new homeschool products that they can really use in their next home. And so we've basically been bombarding those to really get our product in front of their faces. And they've really been loving it. So,
there are homeschool conventions.
Homeschool conventions.
How often are they? Do they happen a lot?
They happen a lot. We're actually going to 12 or 13 of them this year alone. So in the next few months.
All right, so what was one, just like I asked Tina, what was your first taste of success? This sounds like a hard market to get into. I mean,
very hard. Homeschoolers are a very tight-knit community, and it was not easy to really tap into their market. But the first taste of success, I would without a doubt say, is the very first dollar, the very, very first customer. I have a picture up on my Instagram to date of the very first customer that signed up for our program. And when you get that very first customer, that very first dollar for any business you're doing, whether it's makeup, whether it's Netflix, whether it's selling burgers, you know, when you get that very first dollar, it's kind of like you hit this epiphany that you actually have something that people are willing to pay for. Mm-hmm. And so when we got that first $25, it really just made us taste that success. And there was no stopping from there. It was just, let's sell this to as many people as we possibly can. And let's make the product as amazing as we possibly can.
Did you have to partner up with anybody to get you out there, or are there any corporate sponsors that you have for your product? Or
no, we really didn't partner with anybody. We've just been bootstrapping and working and hustling, and it's really down to that consistency, like Tina was saying, and just doing it over and over and over. Yeah.
Wow. So, what's the mission? What are you guys trying to accomplish?
The mission. Wow. The mission of Sparketh is to really spread and foster creativity to as many kids and teens as we possibly can. And so right now it might seem like, oh, just homeschoolers, that's not going to impact the world at all. But eventually we really want to be the go-to guys, the go-to company for anything creative going on in the world. Anything that has to do with fostering creativity, not just in kids and teens, but just creative, like abilities, creative, you know, thoughts, creative events, anything that has to do with fostering creativity, we want to be a part of it. And so we really want to just make sure ultimately our mission is to make the next generation the most creative generation.
Is there like, because usually when people have a mission, there's a problem that they're solving. What problem are you solving?
The problem we're solving is honestly that creativity doesn't get the respect it deserves. Everybody's focused on the academics. Everybody's focused on, you know, math or science. And nobody realizes that creativity is really, really important in society. Because Apple, you know, Facebook, Tesla, anything like that. All those things came from people like Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk. And those people were creative by nature. And creativity was really the driving force in the things that they built. And those things have come to really, really impact society and make a better world for millions, even billions of people. And so if we stop pushing that creativity in kids and teens, then we stop having that evolution. We stop having those innovative products and the world becoming a better place. And so we really want to make sure that 10 years from now, there's a new Apple. 20 years from now, there's a new Elon Musk. And 30 years from now, there's a new Mark Zuckerberg.
We're starting to see a lot of the after-school programs that we have disappear. Is that something that you're going to be replacing? Or are people going to have to start paying for that in the future?
I don't think we're going to replace after-school programs. I mean, that is a possibility. But ultimately, we feel like parents and kids, they need that one-on-one interaction. It really helps them develop and grow. But we really feel like we can replace all the creative learning. Mm-hmm. Anything that has to do with the creative learning, we feel like we can be that online resource, that app that you can just go to at any moment when you have a spark of creativity. You want to learn how to do glass blowing. You want to learn how to do magic tricks. You want to learn how to bake. You want to learn how to do makeup. You know, you just pop on to sparkup.com and we have those tutorials. We have the instructors. We have the feedback, the community to let you really follow your passion and your creativity.
Okay. So how are you, how do you guys know how to do all of this? Is there somebody that, like, you just said a whole list of stuff that'll take you years to get professional at?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the hard part. But we focused on art right now because art is, I guess, one of the most broad categories that kids and teens really want to learn. Think about a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old just having crayons or markers or pencils and just drawing whatever they see on Instagram. And so that was a easy subject to sell, honestly. But as far as magic or makeup or things like that, we're going to find people that are good like it. People like Tina or people that are good at magic. We really go out of our way to try and find the best instructors and people that are passionate, really passionate. That's a real key part of the instructors that we find, people that are passionate. And then we incentivize them by paying them and also explaining to them what their impact could be on the next generation.
So how much is this? It's a subscription service, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not software. Do you access it online? Or
you access it online like a website, and you can access it on any device as long as you have internet on that device. You just go to it, sparkup.com, just like Netflix, and you can watch unlimited access to any of the courses, and that includes any of the subjects that are on there for that one price of $25 a month. And so parents really love that because it's super affordable, and it also solves that problem of kids really, really dabbling in different subjects. One day a kid wants to learn how to dance. The next day they want to learn how to draw. And so by us having all these subjects under one roof, kind of like Netflix having all those genres under one roof, you really get to let the kids just follow their creativity.
You know, at a young age, I wanted to be like a basketball player. That was like my one thing. I wanted to be a basketball player. I went to the court every day. Spent time shooting the same, you know, three over and over again. But then, you know, I went to practice and, man, these kids were taller than me, bigger than me, mm-hmm. man. So I totally get it. I mean, when you're young, you just kind of jump left to right. I mean, one day I'm skateboarding.
Yep.
The other day I'm an artist. I've been an artist before.
Yep.
Did you kind of go through phases like that where you just kind of kept shifting through what you liked? Or have you always been entrepreneurship, Tim?
Yeah. Entrepreneurship has always been in my blood, I'd say without a doubt. I have gone through different phases of creative, you know, passions. But the main one that stuck has always been film and video. Mm. So I've always been interested in film and video. I've been doing it for at least 5+ years. And it's been a huge asset when it came to building out our courses and the videos and the animations and all that stuff. And yeah, I've jumped into things like photography, poker. I've recently been
poker.
Yeah, that's just a hobby.
So gambling is just a hobby. My God.
Yeah, for sure. I've been interested in, say, magic for a while. I've actually gotten pretty good at it. It was almost on America's Got Talent. This close.
Seriously?
So, yeah, really, really close. But now it's just full-time business. So
what was your first taste of entrepreneurship where you were like, oh, man, I'm selling these candies. I'm selling these chips. What was your first taste?
Yeah, that's actually what it was. It was really, really young. I was maybe in fourth or fifth grade. And My mom, I think we had a big bag of Airheads in the kitchen or something like that. I don't know where the Airheads came from, but it was a big bag of, say, 40, 50 plus Airheads that were like mini size, not full size Airheads, mini size. And I think we paid $4 or $5 for it. And I go to school the next day and everyone's asking me for some Airheads. And I'm just thinking, I mean, if you give me a quarter, I'll give you one of my Airheads. And I made a lot of money that day. But the real part that I really loved about that experience in total was there was this girl that I kind of like, you know, we had a little thing, you know, a little footsie under the table kind of thing.
Yeah. So it all starts. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she asked me for an Airhead and I kind of had this power, this authority of, I could make you pay 25 cents, but you know what? Because we have a thing here, you can have it for free.
Ooh, don't get in the habit of that, man. Not get in the habit of that. That would lead you down the wrong road.
Yeah.
So, you know, now we're here in 2017 and Spark is on and moving. What are some of the road bumps that you guys are facing?
Some of the road bumps is really online marketing and online customer acquisition. So like I told you, those expos, those are a huge, huge customer acquisition channel for us. And that's really how we get customers. And I think the real reason it works is because we're pitching in person. And so they can see the passion right through us. They can see the drive right through us when we're telling that parent about what we plan to do and what we hope to build this to be. And it's an easy sell. Like, they love it. We can explain every little corner of the business and they sign up instantly. But when you're online, you're not there selling in person like a salesperson. You have to figure out how to convince someone that's on the other side of their screen, probably have music playing, maybe be driving, family, baby screaming. You have to convince them in a minute or less why they should pull out their credit card and sign up for your service. And so we've been having some trouble trying to figure out the best way to acquire customers online. But that's one of the biggest things that we've been struggling with.
I can imagine being at an expo and an older adult comes up to your table and says, how are you going to help teach my son when I have a son your age? Is that something that you've come across? Have you heard that before?
No. We actually pitch the instructors being young as a positive thing. Mm. And so a lot of art sites or instructional sites or even YouTube instructional videos are taught by much, much older instructors. And kids, they have this disconnect when they're listening to a boring, you know, very strict, very to the T instructor. And so when we pick our instructors, we try and find instructors that are young, passionate, and energetic, and especially passionate. But when the kids see a video or a course with someone that's closer to their age, they feel almost more relatable, almost like I can be that person one day. I can get as good as that artist in front of me one day.
Wow.
And so it's really been a positive thing, less than a negative.
Are some of your partners some of the instructors, or do you just, you know, outsource that? How does that work?
I'd say all of our instructors are our partners because they're aligned to the vision. But honestly, we just, you know, independent contractor kind of situation where we really just go out and find them one off and see if they're really passionate about it. And it's always an ongoing thing. We don't like find an instructor and it's just one-time thing. If you really are passionate about teaching kids creativity or teaching kids how to draw or how to dance, we have the opportunity for you and you can teach as much as you want as long as it's real knowledgeable content. And yeah.
I mean, you keep saying passion.
Yes.
So how do you know if someone has passion about what they're doing? What are some of the key signs? Like, oh, he's passionate about this. But yeah. You know, you can, and also I wanted to comment, you can be passionate about something and just be a horrible teacher.
Yeah, that's true. We've had that experience a couple of times. We've had people that they just didn't connect as well on the site. Maybe it was personality. Maybe it was, you know, what they were teaching. But those people, we just kind of guide them. Sometimes we can help them grow into a better instructor as far as what they're teaching and their personality. And other times it's just not the best fit for them. But as far as how we do try and seek out people that are passionate, we usually look for people that are, one, been doing this for a long time. So if you've been in the game and you've been drawing for years on end, and you've been to this art event and you sold art to this person, and this isn't something you just picked up yesterday, then we know that there's a driving force somewhere in you to do this art. Secondly, we also look for people that they'll do it for free. Mm. Some people will say, like, we won't even tell them that we're paying them. We'll say, look, there's this opportunity to teach kids blah, blah, blah. And they'll say, I want to do it regardless. And then we had the kicker of, we're going to pay you too. And then there's also people that they're studying art education in school. Mm. A lot of our instructors are studying art education in school. And so they're betting their entire life, their whole degree, their career on teaching kids art. Mm. There's no better way to say this person is passionate about teaching kids art than to be choosing to do that for the rest of your life.
Okay, so you guys are a fairly young company, right?
Indeed.
So in the future, do you have any aims for certain partnerships that you want to reach out for? Like, who are some of the people you guys are looking at? Like, if they join with us, man, we could really take it to this level, this, that, 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 that. Who is that?
There's a couple of people that we really, really want to partner with and we've been talking to.
Call them out.
Yeah, we're going to call them out. So one, we've got Boys and Girls Club of America.
Okay.
We've actually been in talks with them for a little bit. On the flip side, we've also been in talks with YMCA. Okay. So that's also, you know, that can be a conflict of interest. But then we also really want to get into a partnership eventually with Hobby Lobby. So all of our students, they need art supplies to learn art. And so right now we're really just linking them out to Amazon and say, hey, this is where you can buy the supplies. But eventually we want to build a partnership with Hobby Lobby where they can provide us with art supplies that maybe we can give to our instructors, maybe a discount, maybe a referral code, something like that. And we can send them all these art students, all these parents with kids interested in art, ready to buy supplies all the time.
So, why not Amazon?
We are using Amazon, but we think Hobby Lobby can probably do some better things for us in various ways. I won't say here, but Amazon is currently, you know, we're using their referral links, but Hobby Lobby, we think they have a lot of potential to do some bigger and better things with us.
So you guys are aiming for some in particular. What's the definition? Have you guys agreed upon the true definition of success for your company?
No, I think we'll know it when we get there. I think we'll know it when we get there for sure. But we're not stopping until we hit at least 1 million students. So
where are you at right now?
We are at maybe like 300 right now.
300 students.
Yeah.
Tune in.
Yeah.
And pay you the subscription fee.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's parents. So some parents have multiple students and multiple children. So, yeah, 300 parents.
Wow. That's a lot of people watching. Even if it's one per one, one for one, it's 300 people sitting there and listening and watching you. That's so important.
Yeah, indeed.
So what would you say your impact is? Have you seen, you know, people come up to you like, oh, man, I'm learning so much. Like, what was one of those moments where someone came up to you and you really felt like you influenced their life?
Yeah, so we had a student, a parent that signed up at the very first expo when we launched, day one. And that was almost 2 years ago. It's going to be 2 years in July. And she was so passionate. She was the perfect student for Sparketh. All she wanted to do was learn art and learn so many different styles. And we're so glad we got her to sign up that day because ever since then, we've built like this amazing connection with her family, with her mom, her dad, her sister, her twin sister that loves baking. So we're going to do baking soon too. But eventually, not too long, I think a few months ago, they said, hey, we want to sit you guys down at Panera Bread and we want to just tell you guys some things. And so we found out that she's been doing art nonstop, using Sparketh nonstop. And she basically got to a level, and she's only, I think, 16 years old. She got to a level where she got hired by, I'm not sure, some animator to draw and do different kind of art things for her. And that was her first job ever. And that was really a result of Sparketh fostering that creativity in her. And we really felt like, if she's the only person we impacted, that's enough for us. Because that is amazing to just see what we've built, all that time and effort to really impact her in such a way.
Wow. So you actually have had an impact in the world already.
Yes.
Okay. So you're doing all these expos. You're getting in people's faces, but you can't be in everybody's face all the time. Okay. It's 2017. How are you utilizing social media? How are you using the internet? How are you doing that?
Well, we have a pretty big following on Instagram, and we like to share a lot of our students' artwork. And so that's one of the biggest ways we get in front of kids and teens that are really interested in art. There's tons of 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds that just love following and seeing and being inspired by art on Instagram. And we really tap into that to kind of just foster that creativity and help draw some of them in to our site. We'll even do like live feeds on when we're actually doing a course, showing behind the scenes and things like that. We recently did a cool little April Fool's video and we just blasted it out on all of our social media networks just to keep that spirit alive and to just get people looking this way.
Are your students helping you grow? Do you listen to like some comments? Like, do you utilize what they're saying to, you know, bring it into what you're doing? How do you do that?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways we do that. One is we'll shoot out surveys every once in a while to ask students, hey, are you intermediate, beginner, or advanced? And we'll get something that says, oh, 80% of the students are intermediate. And so we'll start shooting out 80% more intermediate courses because our students want intermediate courses. Or students will say, hey, we actually recently released a feature where students can actually tell us what kind of courses they want to see on the site. So say, for example, they're browsing through Instagram. They see this really cool drawing of like bubbles on black paper with colored pencils. And then they can literally shoot us that picture, put a little description and say, hey, I really want to learn how to draw this on a beginner level by this instructor. And within a month or so's time, we get a course up on that. And so they really love that feature because they aren't limited just to what is on the site today.
Okay. So you told me you plan to expand to public schools.
Yeah, eventually.
What steps are you taking to get there?
I think the first step we're going to do is to build out a more enterprise version of the site. Right now, it's really focused on a consumer level thing where a parent can sign in, a student can sign in and check out the courses and do whatever they want. But we really want to build out an enterprise version where, say, for example, principal or art instructor can tune in and see all these students watched X amount of videos, they watched this amount of time, and this student didn't complete this or so on and so forth. And so when we build out that kind of like analytics, that kind of data, that kind of backend, so that it's more useful, I would say, to say art teacher or principal, then we really want to go to more school conventions and less homeschool conventions. I think that's the key.
So what do you personally contribute to that?
To that?
No, to the entire, I mean, spark it and getting towards your final goal. What are you doing? What's your role?
My role, I would say, my official role is VP of Sparketh. So I honestly, when you're such a young startup, you're doing everything all the time. And so I'd say a lot of what I contribute is video, like consulting. So I would say, hey, we need to make this video a certain way. You need to make these courses a certain way. Let's add some kind of animations to make it more fun. This video was too boring. Let's figure out a way to make it more interesting. Then another way I would contribute a lot is honestly business development and business strategy. Honestly, looking 1, 2, 3 years in the future and saying, if we want to hit this in 3 years, this is what we need to do for the next 6 months. This is what we need to do for the next year. This is what we need to do for the next 3 years and so on.
Okay. So you're the idea guy, the camera guy, the
everything.
Everything.
Everything. Honestly, the whole team is everywhere at every time. We're editing the courses, we're recording the courses, we're uploading the courses, we're doing customer support, we're the salespeople at the expos, we're the marketing guys, the PR guys, we're doing it all. And that's how it is when you start a startup early on. You really have to be ready to put your foot into every single part of your business. And it also helps because you know your business inside and out. No one can come in and tell you, hey, you need to do this or you haven't done this, because you know your business like the back of your hand.
So, you know, I think my final question I'm going to ask is, what do you guys need now? What are you missing?
What are we missing? Well, it's not money.
Not money.
We've turned down enough money. But I'd say what we need now is a team. So we're growing out of our small team. It's just about 4 of us. And we can only do so much because we only have so many hours in a day. I think what we need right now is people that are willing to commit to this vision and people that are willing to go on this journey with us. And so we can get a lot more done in a lot less time if we had more people helping us.
Okay. So if I want to sign my son up, I don't have a son. If I wanted to sign my son up and I had a son for Sparketh, where would they go? Where can I direct people when they're looking for your product?
You can go to sparketh.com, which is spark, S-P-A-R-K. ETH.com.
Okay. And your Instagram?
Our Instagram is sparketh.com, but the dot is spelled out. So spark, ETH.com. And my Instagram personally, where I do a lot of vlogging and documenting the journey of building this business, is entrepreneur Tim.
Okay. So You have been with Neighborhood Business Radio, and I'm Leo Thomas, and I'm glad you came by the neighborhood, glad you got to see some of our people. And, you know, if you're interested in doing any sponsorship, please just visit, you know, GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. Check us out. Get to know us. Reach out to us. We're not distant and far off in the future. No, we're actually reachable. So come and check us out. So, yeah, we're about to head out of the neighborhood. Thank you again. Stone, let's sign out.